The legendary leaders of India, the world's largest democracy, the Gandhis, the Nehrus, have also been seen as puppets in a wider Cold War between the superpowers. But the moment that Narendra Modi won in the 2014 election, all dynastic legacy was blown away. 550 million people turned out for last year's election in India, ushering Modi into power in a landslide that gave Modi more votes than anyone on the planet. He doesn't have to rule the entire planet, just India, but that's challenging enough. Modi has been criticized already for marginalizing women, failing to protect Muslims, and for a lack of commitment to educational reforms. He presided over the 2002 riots in the state of Gujarat, 3 days of violence that left thousands of people, mostly Muslims, dead. But today, as Prime Minister, Modi is hoping to usher in a new era in India, fueled by economic development. He's currently on a three-nation tour discussing plans for future development in India. Lance Price is author most recently of The Modi Effect, Inside Narendra Modi's Campaign to Transform India.
He grew up in this Hindu nationalist tradition and then kind of reinvented himself as a politician committed very much to economic development and to good governance. And in a sense to civil rights, although a lot of civil libertarians criticize him very heavily for some of the events in his past, he latched on to the anti-corruption movement, and there was an anti-corruption movement that swept the world, of course. I mean, you know, you had Occupy Wall Street, there was an Indian equivalent of that, which was the anti-corruption movement in India, and there had been a lot of corruption scams. And he was able to ride that very, very effectively and get those people behind him. And there's another big question about whether he will be able to keep that coalition of support together.
How do you reconcile, as an author, his Hindu nationalist roots and the, some would say, crimes that were committed when he was regional governor, and his notion of some kind of bring everybody together democracy?
It is a contradiction in that, in a sense, he's riding two horses. And all successful political leaders have to put together a coalition of support. And the coalition of support that he got to make him the only opposition leader, if you like, somebody outside the Congress Party that's governed India for most of the time since independence, to win a majority in Parliament. The way he did that was to combine the hardline nationalist support that he had, because they thought he was one of them, with many, many more people who voted for him because he was offering a different future to India, an economic future that was more open, that was going to create jobs, that was going to create wealth and all the rest of it. And he continues to ride those two horses. And if he wants to get reelected, he can't afford to fall off either of them.
As you spent time with Modi and spent time in India looking at the consequences of this election, can you answer the question, why would a Muslim vote for Narendra Modi?
I can, and many did, many didn't. He was a state governor in Gujarat for over a decade. And there he built up quite a lot of Muslim support. And there are towns and villages which are almost exclusively Muslim that vote for his party in a big way. And they do that because he's built roads, he's provided 24/7 electricity, and he has said, I never said that these roads couldn't be walked on by Muslims or Christians, could only be walked on by Hindus. It's like him saying, it's the equivalent of him saying, my politics is colorblind. You know, everyone benefits from my policies, whatever religion they belong to or none. And in some parts of the country, that works. But in others, where there are still a lot of suspicions about him in the Muslim and minority religious communities, it still doesn't.
As a world leader, does Narendra Modi prefer to imagine his country as developing sparkling Shanghai cities and bullet trains to impress the rest of the world and the G10 and the industrialized West? Or does he prefer to deliver economic development to people that the West will never see in places like Kolkata and the poorest neighborhoods of Mumbai?
Well, one of the enigmas about him, I guess, is that he has both those ambitions. So his manifesto very clearly talked about new smart cities of the future, and he wants to have the equivalent of bullet trains. But I think he knows that for him to continue to be successful politically, he has to deliver real change on the ground that ordinary Indians feel. And there won't be many ordinary Indians in the next 5 years living in a smart city or travelling on a bullet train. So what he has to do is improve their roads, he has to improve their sanitation, he has to provide clean drinking water and toilets. He has to look after the security of women in a way which has become a very big issue in India, as you know. He's a very, very shrewd politician. He knows how to play these things. That says there's no limit to the ambitions that India has. And he talks about, for example, sending the mission to Mars. And the mission to Mars was paid for less than the budget of the film Gravity. But that's not what's going to get him re-elected if he's going to be re-elected.
Finally, there's a lot of simplistic discussion of Modi being a nationalist figure, that what's going on in India right now is either a nationalist rise of the BJP or a dissolution of the old Congress Party. But if you look at Indian history, you see that, really the colonial period ended and then you had the bloody partition, and that went colliding directly into the Cold War. And the Bangladesh period was even more bloody than other conflicts of the time. We barely remember it today. Is it possible that Modi is sitting as a sort of figurehead on what India may really become finally after the Raj?
I think that's true, and I think that India is finally at that moment in its history where it can put all of that you've just been describing behind it and move on. But at the same time, we've seen with the results in Delhi and some of the results elsewhere that it's not a foregone conclusion that he's going to have it all his own way. But I think one of the things that they all have to do, if they're sensible, is recognize that his message about India moving forward economically and in development terms is something that really did strike a chord, was a fundamental reason for his success in the elections. And they can't afford not to embrace that as part of their political programs as well.
Well, Lance Price, thanks so much.
Thank you very much, John.
Lance Price is the author most recently of The Modi Effect, Inside Narendra Modi's Campaign to Transform India.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.